Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Ted Vavim and Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara says, based on Rabbi Huda's statement in the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda says in the Mishnah, when it comes to the assessment of Kodesh for Hekdesh itself, how much it's worth, by Metatlim we use 3, and by Karka we use 10. Rabbi Huda made a statement in the Mishnah that we also require that a Kohen be one of those individuals. So I'm really a popular by Bishnah Rabbi Huda, according to Rabbi Huda, Hainu Tchtiv Kohen. It makes sense that the way we get to the numbers of 10 from the Parshiot of Hekdesh or Pidyon, we get from the fact that the word Kohen is used 10 times. So fine, according to Yehuda, it makes sense that the word Kohen is used as the count for the individuals, because Yehuda requires a Kohen. El Rabbanon, Kohen Lamali, who? According to Rabbanon, who don't require any of the assessors to be a Kohen, why does the Parsha use the term Kohen? So when it says Kasho, we don't have an answer for that. Now, Agargo, Tishav, a Kohen. Comes to our code with, we require 9 plus a Kohen. Menahani Mili. How do we know this? So Amar Shmuel, Asarak Kohenim, Ktuvim B'Parsha. Again, 10 times the word Kohen is used in the Parshiot of Pidyon there, of in the Parsha of Pidyon by Erachin, 3 by the Parsha of Pidyon Behema, and another 4 by the Parsha of Pidyon Karkot that are all in a sequence in the Sefer Vayikra. So Gemara says, okay. Well, if that's the case, that you have 10 in a row, so then why don't we require actual Kohanim? Chadugufei, that's because one of them we need to tell us that you need a Kohen. Hana, chavi miut achamiut. All the additional words of Kohanim are a miut achamiut. Kohen comes to exclude in Israel. And we have a principle that miut, ein miut achamiut, ela rabot. If you come to exclude, two exclusions that come back to back, they're actually coming to include. So again, if you have the first Kohen, that tells us we need a Kohen. Afterwards, you have another word, Kohen, used over and over again. Each time, that's a miut. A miut comes to exclude anybody else. But because a miut yachamiut ala rabot, that means that we're going to include everybody else. So for the first one, we require Kohen. For the other 9, we do not require Kohanim. Gemara says, wait, matkif la ravuna b'reid d'rav nata, anema chamisha Kohanim v'chamisha Yisraelim kashu. Truthfully, if you're going to make the drasha work that way, then it really should work in such a manner. The first Kohen tells us you need a Kohen. The second Kohen is a miut achamiut. And necessary. The fact that it has two exclusionary words together tells us lirabot, come to include something. So now you include Yisrael. Then you come to the third word Kohen. The third word Kohen no longer is a miut achar miut. Now it becomes that we need the word Kohen again, because you already excluded the Kohen by the second word Kohen. So now a third Kohen comes to teach me Kohen again. The fourth time Kohen is used, that's a miut achar miut. Now we know Kohen again. When I have a miut to exclude anybody else again, it's a miut achar miut, it's rabot. So basically every second Kohen is extraneous, because the first word Kohen told us you need a Kohen. The second one becomes a miut achar miut and should be the rabot. If that's the case, you should end up with 5 kohanim and 5 that can be Yisraelim. Gemara says, kasho, we don't have an answer to that question. Vadam kiyotze behem. And we wrote in the Mishnah that a person has the same status as karkaot in terms of redemption for Hekdesh. Gemara says, adam mikadosh. Since when is a person kadosh? I'm Rabbi Abo, but Omer Dmei Alai. It's not when the person himself is physically kadosh, but when he says, my value is to Hekdesh. The Tanya, Omer Dmei Alai. Person who says, my value is to Hekdesh. Shamino Toki Evanam Nikar B'Shuk. We assess him as if he would be sold in the open market. The open market then for human beings was the marketplace for slaves. So we'd assess what this person would be worth if he sold as a slave. Veved Itkish the Karkot. And we know in other places that Eved has the same status as Karko. It's Hekesh between Eved and Karko. We know that from the Parsha Vayikra, that you're able to pass the Avadim to your children just like Karka through Yerusha. So that Hekesh teaches us if you're treated like an Eved, or we assess you like an Eved, then not only are you like an Eved, but you're also like Karka. So if you're a person who says, my value to Hekdesh is going to be assessed like an Eved, we have to treat him like Pidyon Karka, Pidyon of real property. By Rabbi Avin, Seara Omeid Ligaziz. So, Gzoz, if you have hair that is so long that it's ready to be cut, Bekamo, how many people do you need to assess that hair? Kegazuz dami, do we look at it as if it already is severed, uvishlosha, and then it becomes metaltim and you require 3? O kemechuber dami, or do you consider still attached to the individual? And therefore, basara, we require 10 people to assess it. Tashma, bring you a proof from the Bereisa, makdish et avdo ve'en mo'alim, makdish et avdo ve'en mo'alim bo. Person who makes his eved hekdesh, you can't have mi'ila in it. You can't have mi'ilah in an eved with his hair. That they're arguing about the fact of whether hair that is omed ligzoz, that is ready to be cut, is that already considered severed or not severed? If it's considered severed, then it's metaltalim. By metaltalim, you can have a din of mi'ilah, because metaltalim are subject to mi'ilah. On the other hand, karko is not subject to mi'ilah. Real property is not subject to mi'ilah. Therefore, if it's real property, or something as domel real property, for instance, avadim, that nitkash the karko, there they will not be subject to mi'ilah. So the eved itself, we know there's no mi'ilah, because he is domel karko. The only question at hand is whether an eved who has hair long enough that it should be cut, is that hair still considered mechuber le'eved, and therefore it would not be subject to mi'ilah, or is it already considered as if it was severed, and if it's metaltalim, it would be subject to mi'ilah. Shema mina. So from there we can learn that Seiro Omed Gozoz is actually a Machlokas Tanaim. It says, Neima Hani Tanai, Kehani Tanai. Let us say that these Tanaim argue with the same Machlokas as other Tanaim in the Gemara in Shavuot. The Tanai Rabbi Meir Omer, Yesh Devarim Shehein Ke Karko. There are certain items that are like Karko, Ve'einan Karko, but they're not Karko. Ve'einan Chachamim Modim Lo, and the Chachamim don't agree. Keitzat. What's the case? Eser Gifanim Te'unot. You have 10 vines, grape vines, that are carrying or loaded with grapes that are ready to be picked. So if he says, "Esek vaneim to note maser to the chai," gave you over 10 vines loaded with grapes. Valo mer enan ela chamesh, only 5. So over here, it's what's called mode b'miktzat. Mode b'miktzat is chayav shvua. But there we said there are certain exclusions to a mode b'miktzat. It's chayav shvua. One of those exceptions is real property, is karka. So now, are these grapes classified as being, when they're attached to the vine, they're classified as karko, or are they classified as already picked and metaltalim? Well, the nafkamina, the difference between whether you take a shvua by modem miksat. That's exactly what Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim argue about. Meir mechayev. In this case, Rabbi Meir is mechayev. Chachamim omrim, kol mechuber the karko, are you karko? Rabbi Meir says you're chayav, because we look at them as if they're detached. Chachamim say no, since they're still attached to the vine, they're mechuber the karko. We're not talking about just grapes on the vine that are just any types of grapes. No, we're talking about grapes that are already so ripe that they're ready to be picked. So when they're ready to be picked, do we consider them as if severed already and they're metaltalin? Or are they, since they're still attached to the vine, they have a classification as karko marsavar kibitzurot damyan? One holds, meaning Rabbi Meir holds, as if they're picked, and therefore he's mechayiv you a shvua medu miktzat, because it's metaltalin. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe it's mechuber the karka. Mechuber the karka gives it a status like karka, and therefore you won't pay modem miktzat, because we don't take a shavua on real property. Gemara says, "Lo, we don't have to say the machlokas tanaim between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim by the grapes and shavuot modem miktzat is the same machlokas that we have by se'ar of the eved, by the hair of the eved, between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Tana Kama, the Chachamim over there. Why? Because you can actually differentiate between the two cases." Because afilu teim Rabbi Meir ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Meir al tama kol kama de shabak leu mikash kachashe. That Rabbi Meir over there believes the reason you're chayav is because if you leave the grapes on the vine, the longer you leave the grapes on the vine, they're not going to improve anymore. I mean, just because you leave them on the vine doesn't mean they're going to stay or they're going to grow better. Once they reach the point of ripening, if you leave them on the vine, they actually will deteriorate. It'll be detrimental to the grapes to leave them on the vine. Therefore, they're considered kibtzirot damyan. Therefore, we consider them as if severed, because there's no value in them staying on the vine, and they're really not gaining anything from the karka. That is not true by hair. So a person, when their hair is, the longer their hair grows, the more beautiful, the more princely the hair will be. So there, we don't assume that just because it's ready to be cut means it will be cut, because if you, for whatever reason, don't cut it, it's not like the hair will deteriorate from that point. It will just grow longer, which will be more elegant in some way. All right, Gemara says dinin afashot. It says the Gemara talks about dinin afashot are with 23, and here we were talking about a case of bestiality. The case is a bestiality. We say you require 23. You require 23 not only for the behemoth, for the animal himself, we also require 23 for the ba'alim. We're going to see what all this means in 1 second. Mar says, kapasak v'tani. The Mishnah says it without any differentiation. Lo shna ruva zachar, lo shna ruva nikeva. Makes no difference how the behemoth interacts with the human being. Meaning that when it comes to bestiality, there are actually three manifestations of the bestiality. There's a male behemah that has had relations with a woman. And when it comes to, we could have a man, or in a zachar, by a zachar, you can have two manifestations of bestiality. You can have one where the man himself has a relations with a nekeva, with a female animal. Or on the other hand, you can have a male animal that performs an act of bestiality or homosexuality with a man. So the Gemara says here, you don't differentiate between rova nekeva and Rova Zachar. It doesn't matter if you have a male behema, we don't differentiate whether the male behema slept with a man or slept with a woman. Bishlam or Rova Nekeva, I understand when a male animal sleeps with a female woman, Dichtiv, Varakta Tisha Veta Behema. Over there it says that the woman and the animal are put to death. Rova Zachar, Minalon. How do you know Rova Zachar is also Chayav? Marzez Dichtiv. Anybody who sleeps with an animal will be put to death. It's not for an Indian, meaning that it's not necessary for us to teach us about a man who's sleeping with a female animal. Why not? Because we have another pasuk that teaches that already in Vayikra. These are from Achrei Mot and Kedoshim, the parshiot of Arayot there. And the parsha says, Ish asher yitein shchavto. Right? Over there we already know about a man who sleeps with a behema. So now, this pasuk is unnecessary or extraneous. So he said, if it's not for a man sleeping with a behema itself, a female behema, we'll say that it's a man who is acting as a recipient, meaning that it'll be a male behema that is sleeping with a male. And why did the pasuk use the word shochev? And we're talking about nishkav. Why doesn't it say nishkav? Why does it say shochev? That he's the active party. Lakushe nishkav the shochev. To give you a hakesh between the one who is the passive party to the one who's the active party. Just like a person where the male is the active party and there's a female behema, there the requirement of 23, both for the individual and the behema. Af nishkav, same thing by someone who is the recipient or the passive party here, the behema zachar, that sleeps with a male, then nishkav hu ubemto be'esrim v'shlosha, both of them were required to be put to death with a basin of 23. So in this we learned that any bestiality in all three manifestations, the behema and the individual, require a basin of 23 to put them to death. Now the next statement in the Mishnah is about shor haniskal. It says there, shor haniskal be'esrim v'shlosha, that a shor haniskal gets 23. Shnemar, why? Because it says in the pasuk, Ashur Yisakel v'gam balav yumat, that the shor has to be put to death or stoned, v'gam balav yumat, and then the owners also are put to death. Now over there we know that gam balav doesn't literally mean that they're put to death, and the Gemara will discuss that in a second, but now the Gemara says, k'mita tabalim, kach mitat ashur. Just like the way that the balim, the owners, are put to death, which means with the basin of 23, so too, mitat ashur, so too, and the animal here, the shor Yisakel, is put to death with 23. So I'm going to buy the rovo. Mimai, the high begum of yumat. Look at mitat balim, kach mitat ashur udata. Why do you say that this mitat balim over here is open for a drasha to teach us the hekesh between the animal and the owners? Just like the owners are put to death 23, so too the animals put to death 23. Why don't we need that pasuk? Gam balav yumat. Why don't we say that's coming to teach us, right? That the balim, that the owners, are put to death. Why are you changing the pshat and the pasuk to say that they're not, the owners themselves are not put to death? Right, imkain, the Gemara says, imkain, lichtov, v'gam balav. Also the balim. I mean, just like the behema is asher yisakel, v'gam balav, and also the owners. Why do you have to say, gam balav yumat? The word yumat is extraneous. Gemara says, well, you can't say that, because, ikad of rechmano ochi, had the pasuk written such, hava mina biskilo. I would have thought that the owner gets skila. Why? It says, asher yisakel, v'gam balav. So if they're gam balav, means that they will get the same mitah, they'll get the same death penalty as the shor, which is yisakel. Mar says, how can you do that? B'skila skal kodatcho. How could you ever think that the owners would get the punishment of skila? Kotel iu b'saif. Right? If he kills, meaning if he's a rotzeach, he's a murderer, he gets a punishment of death penalty. That's by saif, by the sword. Mimono b'skila. Then here, when his owner, something he owns, goes in and puts a person to kill someone, his shore killed someone else, now he's going to give skila, which is a much more strict or stringent punishment. He'll get a much more severe punishment for the killing by his money than he will get, or for his possessions that kill, than rather when he personally kills. That doesn't make any sense. So Mar says, that can't be the reason that you say this. But Dilma, Haydechtav Rachmana Yumat Lakuli Alei. All right, fine. So it can't be that the explanation is Gambulav Yumat. Yumat is extraneous. So that Yumat teaches us the Hekesh. Mar says, wait a minute. Wait, you can't. Maybe the word Yumat is not extraneous because we need it to tell you that he gets a lighter punishment. What does that mean, you get a lighter punishment? Meaning if a person murders another individual, they're put to death, the death penalty is beside for the sword. So maybe the gambul of Yumat here, Yumat's coming to teach you, don't give him the punishment for a murderer, give him a lighter punishment. He's put to death, but a lighter punishment. What that would that be? That'd be chenek. So that all works if you believe chenek is a lighter form of punishment than saif. So Mar says, anich lemandamer chenek chamur. That makes sense according to one who says chenek is a higher form or a stricter or a more severe form of punishment. Then you're already at the bottom of the barrel. Once you hit saif, That's the lowest form of killing that Beis Din can do. So now you want to come say, Miumat, teach us yet the Balim have to die, and they're going to die in a way that is a lower form of death. There is no lower form of death. The lowest form of death penalty is the sword. So Gambalav Yumat, the word Yumat is extraneous. Because you could say Gambalav. Gambalav means that he would be put to death. Gambalav means, you're going to say he's going to get skila. There's no way we can give him skila because of the logic that we said before. When he kills himself, gets only Saif, then why would you give him skila for his mamon? So that can't be the answer. You want to say that the Gambalav, you might come to teach me to reduce it. There's nothing to reduce it. Saif's the bottom of the barrel. The problem is for the other individual. That works well according to one who said there's nothing below Saif. But the one who says, that Chenik is below Saif, that means that you could. When you say Gambalav, you might, he's put to death. Not the death of Saif, but rather the death of Chenek, which would be the lowest form of Mitas Beis Din. So, Ma'ika the Meimar, so how are you going to explain this pasuk now? Because now we say, Gam Belav Yumat, Yumat teaches me something. Lo Salka Datcha, you can't say that. Im Kofer Yushat Alav. That if he has to pay Kofer, I mean that here, by Shuri Sakel, Gam Belav Yumat, Im Kosher Yushat Alav, that he's allowed to pay Kofer, he's allowed to pay money to, quote unquote, get out of the death penalty. Vi Salka Datcha Bark Talo, if he was really Chayav to be put to death, the Balim are really subject to a death penalty. Aktiv, lo tichu kofer lenefesh rotzeach. That for a person who's supposed to be put to death, we do not accept payment in lieu of him putting to death. There's no such thing as buying your way out of the death penalty. So when I says, Adarabo, this sounds even better. Rabba, Mishum Higufa. Meaning that that's exactly why we need this pasuk to teach us. Our teacher come to teach us that there's actually a difference between a murderer and a person whose mamon kills. Why? If he himself is a murderer, then the only thing that can work is he gets the death penalty. He can't buy his way out of the death penalty. He can't pay kofar. It won't work. Then true. When his possessions kill, they will have to. He will be put to death. But in that instance where it's a lower form, a less severe form of death penalty, maybe he should be able to buy his way out of it. So if that's the case, again, we have no explanation of this pasuk. It says, Gam Belav Yumat. I would think now the word Yumat comes to teach me, all right, he's not a murderer, so he doesn't get Saif, but he gets a lower form of killing by Beis Din or being death penalty by Beis Din, which is that he'll get Chenek. Okay, so now if I have that limud, then the word Gam Belav Yumat is not extra. If it's not extra, how do I learn out the hekesh between Shor and the Baalim? There is no hekesh left. Tosus here discusses why not. I mean, just because we have a limud here, why can't you make a hekdesh? So Tosus differentiates between the way the order of the psukim are written. Because here, the behem was mentioned before the Adam. Had it not been for the extraneous, we would only learn the hekdesh in one direction, not in both directions. So they need the extra word yumat to teach you to learn the hekdesh in both directions. And now, so Amar Chizkiah, this is the way I have to explain it. Chayin tana b'chizkiah, Amar Kura, mot yumat hamakeh rutzeach hu. The only one is put to death is someone who is a rotzeach, is a murderer. Aritzichoto atarogo. If he's a killer, if he's the one who murdered, you put him to death. Yetarogo aritzichat shoro, but he's not put to death because of the actions taken by his possessions. Ibailuhu. The Gemara has a question. Shor Sinai bekama. There by the in Parshat Yitro, it says that anybody who goes up at the mountain when the presence of the Shechina is there will be put to death. Gam adam, gam be'ema. Doesn't matter if it's a person, doesn't matter if it's an animal. Everybody is put to death when they touch the mountain. So the Gemara wants to know here, Shor Sinai, the Shor at Sinai, does it get punished with 23? Why? Mi gamar shami dorot. Do we learn out the Shor of Sinai from regular which we have here, Shor Yisakel, right? A Shor that is put to death. We learn that you need 23. So maybe Shor Sinai should be learned from that, right? Or lo, or maybe not. Maybe that we say that Shor ledorot, we learn out from the Skilat Shor that's with 23 from the Hekesh to Adam. But Shor Sinai is an exceptional case, and there will not require 23. So my says Tashma, the Tani Rami Berchezko, and Berchezko teaches us Limud im behema imish lo yechye, my ish bekaf gimel af behema bekaf gimel. So they bring a pasuk from there in Yitro itself. It says that if a man or a behema touches the har, then they require 23. But that's from a hekesh between man and the behema. Meaning that again, we don't learn out Shor Sinai from Shor Dorot. Rather, we learn out Shor Dorot from Adam le Dorot. And we learn out Shor Sinai from Adam b'Sinai. So just like Adam b'Sinai, if he goes up at the mountain, we're put to death with 23. So to the Shor, we're put to death with 23. Both Rashi and Tosfos ask here, well, how do you know that a person is put to death with 23? Where do they know it from? The pasuk that we learn it out from, V'tzilu Aida, wasn't given yet. They both answer that we learn that from Parshat Yitro. Since Parshat Yitro was given already, and they already established the Batid Dinim, they either knew this law, or the assumption was that a death penalty will require a Beis Din of 23. So it's obvious to the Gemara that a person who's put to death must require a Beis Din of 23, because the court system is already in place from the time of Yitro. meaning the parak right before this in the Torah, in Parashat Yitro, is setting up the judges. The next parak is about not touching the har, meaning about Har Sinai. So based on that, they say it's obvious to the Gemara that a person who killed will be put to death to 23, and the Hekesh there is between that individual, Adam B'Sinai, to Shor B'Sinai. Tosfos asked the obvious question, which is, we had the Gemara asked in other places, is it Madhava Ava? That's a historical question. The Gemara is not dealing with historical questions. What happened in history is gone, it's done. If there's no halachic nafkamina to me, if there's no value out of this in terms of psak halacha, why do I care how the Shor B'Sinai was put to death? Again, it has no implications to the Shor today that we already learned out from Shor Yisrael. Those who suggest that the possibility here of why they had to do this was because they need to know how to explain the psukim. They were trying to learn pshat in the psukim, and since they're trying to learn Mizbar Krai, they wanted to explain the pasuk, and that's why the limud here, but it has no halachic implications. Ariva Ziv, this is in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us there's actually a three-way machlokas about what you do with certain types of animals. There's the Tanakamo, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Akiva. So the Mishnah tells us when it comes to these animals that they have to be put to death with a Beis Din of 23. So now the position of the Tanakhama is that Hazev, Vari, Vadov, Vanamer, Vabardlis, Vanachash, Mitatan, Besri, Mishalsha. Just makes a blanket statement that they're put to death with 23. But as Omer, Kola Kodem, Lohorgan, Zacha. Anyway, the first come, first serve. Kill the faster you kill them, the better. Kivu Omer, Mitatan, Besri, Mishalsha. Rikiv says there's a Mitah with 23. So we have to address two issues. One issue is that Rabbi Akiva sounds exactly like the Tanakhama, and they both require a Beis Din of 23. Number two, we have to explain is why does Rabbi Elezer mean that a kolo kodem zacha? What does that mean? You can just go randomly kill animals? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, Behu, Shemitu. Rabbi Elezer's position is only established by after the animals have killed. If these animals have killed someone, then automatically it's kolo kodem zacha. The faster you kill them, the better. Aval, lo yimito, if they didn't put anybody to death, lo, then you're not entitled to go kill them. Alma, Kasara, it must be that Reish Lakish holds, Yeshlem Tarbut, these animals are able to be domesticated, Yeshlem Balim, and not only that, but then if they can be domesticated, then people have ability to exert ownership over them. I mean, if they were not able to be domesticated, then people cannot exert ownership over them, because the fact that they are wild makes them hefker, because nobody can control them, so they can't belong to any particular individual. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, Rabbi Yochanan says that's not true. Rabbi Lezer's opinion is Afa Pishaloi Mitu. Even these animals have yet to kill, you still can go ahead and kill them. Alma, so it must be that Rabbi Yochanan holds in them tabut. There's no way to domesticate these animals, and therefore they're a danger to society, and whoever comes first to kill them, the better. Ve'enlem balim. And obviously, if that's the case, they don't have any owners. Tana, and we have a mishnah, and our mishnah, Rabbi Lezer, Omer, kol ha-kodem la-or gam zacha. Our mishnah says that the first one to kill them, zacha, merits. What does that mean, he merits? Bishlam, Rabbi Yochanan, the mai zacha, zacha la-ora. The first one who kills them gets to keep their skin. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan believes, number one, that you are able to kill them whenever you want. That means that they are wild, undomesticatable animals, and that means there's no ownership over the animals. There's no ownership, it's hefker. So if you go out and kill it, you're entitled to take whatever you want, so you get to keep the skins. And that's what it means, zacha. Whoever gets there first gets to keep the skin. El Reish Lakish, the mai zacha. What did you get here? I mean, it's still, there is ownership. If there is ownership, why are you allowed to kill it? You're allowed to kill it because it killed somebody else, but that doesn't entitle you to take away the ownership of the other individual. Where it says, no, Kevin Shemitu, if it already killed someone else, Shavyunu Rabbanu Kamanda Gumar Dinayu, it's as if it was placed in Beis Din, it was a Gumar Din, that it deserves the death penalty now. Bisurei Anon Inhu. And we know that anything after the death penalty, or every time Beis Din gives a psak about an animal that is going to be killed, that animal comes off limits now, becomes Asur Banot. Just like a Shor that is Omed Lisakel, a Shor that's supposed to be stoned to death for whatever behaviors that it had if it killed somebody. Once Beis Din paskins that the Shor must die, at that point it becomes Yisurei Anon. There's nothing left. You shech the animal, it's not a kosher animal, because you can't get any Hanoah from this animal. So also over here, Reish Lakish, what are you going to say? Kol Dekodem Zacha? So whoever gets there first gets something. You can't get anything, because this animal is now in Yisurei Anon. So when it says, no, you're misunderstanding what the word zacha means over here. My zacha, zacha l'shamayim. He's doing a mitzvah. He's helping people out. Here's an animal that's wild, that killed a person. When you kill him, you're doing a service to society. That's what zacha means. Zacha means you did a mitzvah. Tanya kubasi de Reish Lakish, a price that supports the position. Reish Lakish, echad shor shemit, vechad beima, vechaya shemitu, vechav gimel. Doesn't matter, a shor that put someone to death, or an animal that put someone to death, then they are, b'chav gimel, they get 23. So here you see, whether it's a shor, or whether it's any other animal, they're put to death with 23. But that's only if they say, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shor Sheimit Be'Esrim V'Shlosha, Shabeimam Chaya Sheimitu Kol Kodem L'Ragam Zachah Ben L'Shamayim. And again, over here, Rabbi Elazar differentiates between Shor and other animals. By Shor, it says, Sheimit Be'Esrim V'Shlosha, put to death somebody's 23. V'Shar Be'Emot Chaya Sheimitu. Again, that they say Sheimitu, if they put someone to death, then Kol Kodem L'Ragam Zachah Ben L'Shamayim. The differentiation between Shor and other behemoth is whether they have to come to Beis Din. A Shor has to be brought to Beis Din in order to be adjudicated and sentenced to death, whereas other animals, because they're already, quote-unquote, not domesticated, they're very wild animals, if they've killed, then you can put them to death by yourself. It's as if the Gemara Din's already been passed down. And that's what goes like Reish Lakish, because over here it says Sheimitu, if they put someone else to death, implying that if they had done nothing wrong, they would be considered domesticated and owned by the owners, and you couldn't kill them. So there's Bryce that supports the position of Reish Lakish. So now we are here on Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. In general, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is Halachic Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara enumerates the exceptions to that the rule. One of the exceptions is not our Gemara over here, even though it's clear from our Gemara that the position of Reish Lakish is correct, because we bring a Bryce to support his position. The Tosa says the reason they didn't bring this as one of the exceptions is because over here Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are explaining the position of Rabbi Eliezer. It's not their position. It's not their personal position. It's just a position of Rabbi Elazar that they're explaining, and therefore it's not brought as the exception rules between Paskin Halacha between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. It's not about Pesach Halacha, it's about explaining a position of a Tana Rabbi Eliezer. It's not here in the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva, Hainu Tana Kama. That's what we said before. Gemara says, Ike Beinahu Nachash. The difference between them is a snake. The Tana Kama thinks a snake is like any other animal, whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, a snake is not, because a snake, Nachash, Mu'ad Olam, that we have in the Mishnah in Baba Kama. And it says, the Kuliyama, everybody holds that a Nachash is Mu'ad Olam. So that's Rabbi Kiva is in consonance with that position, that a Nachash is Mu'ad Olam. Other animals, yes, they hold like the Tanakhama, they require a Beis Din of 23. By Nachash, since it's Mu'ad Olam, that's the one exceptional case. And that would be the difference between the Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakhama. The Rabbeinu Tam over here points out that the Gemara there in Baba Kama, there's some difficulties between the Gemara there and over here of what's classified as domesticated. One of the differentiations that Rabbeinu Tam makes in order to explain or reconcile the Gemaras is to say that there's a difference between domestication in the Gemara in Baba Kama and domestication here. And he explains that the Tarbut over here is when they're tied by a chain, that they're actually locked up and tied by a chain, so that there might be different levels of domestication. I mean, can you have a lion walking around town, and that's considered a domesticated animal, or is it a lion that's chained up? That can be classified as a domesticated animal. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam differentiates over here when we're talking about whether animals are able to have balut, and the people can have ownership over them, and they can be domesticated. This is when you tie them up and you lock them up. Then there's a possibility that they can be kept in a domesticated manner. The Gemara in Baba Kama is discussing about Mu'at. What are they classified for Mu'at? And there it's talking about animals that are not necessarily tied up. In that case, the word domestication has a different meaning than it does over here. That's one thing. The second thing is actually when we discuss the Mishnah enumerates one of the animals as a bardalus. There we explained, we gave a couple of interpretations of what the bardalus is. Rashi over here, again, gives the same explanation he gave in the Mishnah. And Tosus takes issue with Rashi's explanation that it's a poitish. Because he said it sounds like it's something much more significant than that. So Rashi, Tosu there claims that it's a min nachash, some sort of serpent, this animal. But there might be, he claims, other types of bardalus, meaning that there might be different types of bardalus. One that is, the way that Rashi is explaining over here, which sounds more like a leopard or a rodent. Or there are another type of bardalus, which is a nachash or a snake, which is much more dangerous. But therefore, the word bardalus is slightly unclear in the Mishnah as to what it means, whether it means a leopard, a rodent, or some sort of serpent, and that would be subject to machlokes between Rashi and the Tosafot. Now, the Gemara says, Ein Danin, right, when it comes to, there's certain people or certain individuals or cases where they must be adjudicated by the Beis Din HaGadol of 71 up in Yerushalayim. And that, our Gemara says, Mishnah says, Ein Danim lo teshevet, v'lo navi sheker, v'lo kohen gadol, ala pi beit din shel 71. You know, Beis Din 71 to adjudicate or to, in cases that involve a whole shevet, a navi sheker and a kohen gadol. So Gemara wants to know, okay, what does this mean? Hai shevet, the chata b'mai. This shevet, it says, requires a Beis Din at 71. What was their sin? When it comes to a individuals versus a large group together, there's a difference in Avodah Zarah. In Avodah Zarah, we have by Iran Idachat. So you have individuals going to be put to death. They have one miso. And there's Irad Dinachar. You have a whole city that is goes off the derech. And as about Chachamim, we see there's a difference there. About Bishar Mitzvot, Mipligei. And here there, Mitzvah in the Torah. What's the difference in the death penalty for one or many that do the same Aveira? Maybe one person is Mechal Shabbos, or many people are Mechal Shabbos. They're all Chayav, Skila. There's no differentiation between a single and a plurality. If that's the case, then why should Shabbat get special status that it's judged by 71? It should just have the same din as any other individual. Shabbat Shudach. Right, we're talking about a shevet that went off the derech. So it must be a shevet that had that worshipped the avodah zarah, but it was an ir anidachat. The shevet is classified as an ir anidachat. Then there is a different din for a shevet. The memra, the bedina, the rabbim, dainianle. Oh wait, your suggestion is that a shevet, a whole shevet, became classified as an ir anidachat? Come on, who's that like? Lok Rabbi Yoshia, but Lok Rabbi Yonatan. That's not like either of these tanaim. The tanya, we have a braisad kama osim ir anidachat. How big can an ir anidachat be in order to still be classified as an ir? A city of a year on Nidachat. So, Miyodat Kuf, dear Rabbi Yosha. Rabbi Yosha says if it has 10 inhabitants unto 100 inhabitants, that's considered an year on Dachat. Beyonatomer, Mikaf ad Rubo shall shave it. From 100 until the Rove of a Shevet is classified as a year on Nidachat. But once you get over a majority of a Shevet, it's no longer classified as a year on Nidachat. Rabbi Tosus points out that he thinks the machlok is here between Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yosha is about a Pshad and a Pasuk in Amos that says, Ayir, you'll say Elef, Tashir Me'ah, you'll say Me'ah, Tashir Asara. So you see that a city that was once this size will then become this size. So the two sizes that they give is 1,000 to 100, and one is from 100 to 10. So there you see the two sizings of cities you get from 10 to 100, or then it sounds like a... And Rabbi Yonatan says, may 100 upwards is classified as a city. So based on the Pasuk and Amos, based on the two examples that are given there, each one has an opinion about what the size of Nirei Dachat is. But I feel Rabbi Yonatan lo kamar el rubo. But Rabbi Yonatan only says that you can have up to Rova Shevet. Kulo lo amar. But when it comes to a whole Shevet, he never says you can have an Iri Dachat. So Ramatno Hocho Benasi Shevet Shechata Askinun. We're dealing with the prince, the Nasi of the Shevet that sinned. Milo amar Ravader Ba'avo Kol Davar Gadol Yaviu Elecha. When it comes to in Parshat Yitro, when it discusses about setting up the judicial system, it says anything that is too big will be brought to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. So now the Gemara says, Devarav Shel Gadol. That's talking about anything that deals with someone who is a person of power or a person of leadership in the community. They also have to be brought between Bezin of Shivan Echad. It's not just Gadol means a difficult case has to be brought before Moshe, but anything that deals with people who are of stature, they have to be brought before the Bezin of Gadol. Where it says, Hainami Gadolhu, this Nasi also has a qualification as a Gadol. The Gemara later on, in tomorrow's daf, will explain why we learn from Gadol about an individual and not about the severity of the case. Ula Amar Rabbi Lazar, Bevayin Al Iskei Nechalot. It's a case where they're discussing about inheritances. Tchilat Eretz Yisrael. It has the same din as when they originally divided up Eretz Yisrael. Ma Tchilat Shivim Ve'achad. Just like in the beginning, it was 71. Avkan Shivim Ve'achad. So to over here, the original division of the land required a basin of 71. So to now, if there's any arguments between Shvatim or between individuals about Nachalah, they have to be brought before the basin of Gadol. Where it says, if you're going to make such a Hekesh between the original division of Eretz Yisrael and the current Machlok is about any Nachalah, also, the original time that required a lottery and required an urim between v'chol Yisrael and all of Bnei Yisrael standing there, afkan. So too, any adjudication about iskei nachalot has to be done with a kalpi and urim betumim v'chol Yisrael. That makes any sense. El mecharta k'Rav Matno. The answer must be like Rav Matno that we're talking about the nasi shevet. Here we'll offer one more interpretation. Ravina Mar Lolam b'shevet shudach. No, the case is here about a whole shevet that was made during dachat. Kachashalach b'dina the rabbi inun dan inun lei that we're going to give him a din of an iri didach. We said an iri didach doesn't reach to that size of a whole shevet. In afgav the kadlin of a yachid, even though they're put to death like individuals, meaning that they get the death penalty in an individual in avodah zara, b'dina the rabbi dan inun lei they still have to be adjudicated. The case will be adjudicated in the beis nagadol. Milo Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yosef Veotzeita Et Aisha Hu Or Et Aisha Hi. When it comes to giving the death penalty for Avodah Zarah, it says you have to take these people, individuals, out to the gates of your city, meaning to the Beis Din. Ish V'isha Atam Motzei L'Sharecha. When it comes to individuals, you take them to the Beis Din and the Shar and the gates of your city. What that Beis Din? It's a Beis Din of 23. V'yata Motzei Kol Eir Kula L'Sharecha. And a whole city you don't take out to the Shar. And Hachanami Ish V'isha Atam Motzei L'Sharecha. So too over here in our case, individuals are taken out to the Shar. V'yata Motzei Kol Shevet Kula L'Sharecha. When it comes to adjudication of a whole Shevet, when it comes to dealing with a capital case by a whole shevet, true, they're going to be not going to be classified as any dacha. They're going to be put together like individuals who worship the Barzera. Nevertheless, when it comes to actually being done the shevet, you have to take that up to Beis Din HaGadol. It's too big a case. A case when you're dealing with individuals that can be brought to Beis Din 23 at the door of at the gates of the city. But when it comes to a whole city, when it comes to the whole shevet, those cases are too big. They're too severe or serious cases. They have to be brought up to the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim to the Beis Din 71. So you're right. They know Hanami that there's no irani dacha. It's not classified as an irani dacha here, but nevertheless, the case has to be brought to the Beis Din HaGadol because of the nature of the case. Okay, we'll stop over here.